I wasn't lazing around. But for you visitors, I know you're disappointed that Brother Joe's not preaching. I'm sorry. And I thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to preach. We probably won't be here at least for the next 3 weekends, be traveling and going to different places and preaching. So it is a privilege to be here tonight, and I thank you for praying for myself, for my family. And really just want to thank you for praying not just for our health, but for the decisions that we are facing that we hope and pray to make soon and know exactly where the Lord would have us on a more permanent basis. So thank you for praying for us always. I ask that you continue to pray for my health. I feel like I have 90% of my energy, and I just need another 10%. So if I can steal a little bit from your pastor, no one would notice, and I'd be okay. I know what he goes through, though, when he gets sick. I rarely get this kind of sick, and I could not stand being in an apartment and not doing anything. It drove me insane. The other day, I just went ahead and did laps around the church building because I couldn't stand being inside any longer. But I am glad to be up here tonight before you. Tonight, I want to speak from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, on the subject, men of faith. Pastor was talking this morning somewhat about faith, and he even ended his sermon with a statement about faith. And that was exciting because this is exactly the subject that the Lord had put on my heart, was men of faith. Now, faith is a common word that we use. We sometimes misuse that word. We will describe our religious beliefs by saying, my faith. But that is not what we are talking about tonight. We are not talking about a denomination, but we hope that your denomination is defined by your faith. Now, it is interesting because tonight we are at the facilities of Faith Baptist Church. But what does that really mean to you, Faith Baptist Church? We use that word so often and so fluently that we really don't even understand what that word faith even means. I was looking up the definition of faith, and I know Pastor has said this many times, that you can find a thousand different definitions of faith. But we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, and that gives us an idea of what faith is. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And one thing that we know about faith is that faith is always accompanied by action. Faith without action is not faith. As a matter of fact, that's what James chapter 2, verse 26 says. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so we look at the word faith, and one thing that we understand is that it is always accompanied by action. I remember as a young person listening to a youth pastor and youth group, and he would pull out a chair, and he'd say, now this chair, do you believe could hold you up? And we'd say, oh yeah, I believe it could hold me up. And he'd say, is that faith? And we say, well, yeah, that's faith. He said, but that's not true faith. That's not living faith. The living faith would be that you actually go and sit in that chair, because faith is always accompanied by works. I like how Oswald Chambers defines faith. He says, faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. Yeah. Trusting God. Trusting God. So tonight we are going to talk a little bit about faith. And when I was kind of studying and getting ready for this message, I thought, what example could I use about faith? And I found this story about Hudson Taylor, and it goes quite along with the illustration the pastor used this morning about the sails and the ship. So if you weren't here this morning, you need to go back and listen to that sermon. Hudson Taylor was going to China, and he made a voyage on a sailing vessel. As it neared the channel between the southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. He said, "Mr. Taylor, we have no wind. We are drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they are cannibals. What can I do?" asked Taylor. "I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." So he said, "Okay, Captain, but you must set the sail." He said, "Well, that's ridiculous. Not even the slightest breeze. Besides, the sailors will think that I'm crazy." But finally, because of Hudson Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, he returned and found the missionary still on his knees. And he said, "You can stop praying now. We've got more wind than we know what to do with." The sail must have been set, because the wind without that sail set would have been useless. Tonight, we look at Hebrews chapter 11, and it is known as the chapter of faith. We see many examples of men of faith. We will see as we go through each verse, which we won't focus on every verse tonight, but we see these statements: by faith, Abel; by faith, Enoch; by faith, Noah; by faith, Abraham; by faith, Sarah; by faith, Isaac; by faith, Jacob; by faith, Joseph; by faith, Moses; by faith, they, speaking of the children of Israel; by faith, the harlot Rahab. This is a chapter that when we want to see an example of faith, we run to. And it seems many times that we focus just on the very first part of this chapter. But as we get into Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin in reading in verse 32. The Word of God says, after all of these examples have been brought by the writer, the Word of God says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Tonight, as we focus on this passage of Scripture, I want us just to see four very short points. Yes, they are alliterated. I'm at Faith Baptist Church. That's what we do. I will try not to take on any more of your pastor's habits, I promise, as I get my handkerchief out of my pocket. The first thing we see in the Scripture tonight is that they stood. they stood. I want you to see what happened with these men and women of faith. Verse 32 through verse 34, the writer says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." And I want you to see this next phrase, "who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens." See, tonight, we want to look at the stand that was made by these men through faith. One of the things that I will share with you today is that we hear that phrase very often through prayer. "Lord, we thank you for this church and what it stands for." But today I would tell you that many members of a local church stand for nothing. Yet when they pray, when they give thanks for what the preacher stands for what he teaches from the pulpit, for what he stands for in his life. Yet today, if we were asked, what do we stand for? We would say, well, I stand for the Bible. But what does that mean? I stand for good, whole, true doctrine. Yet we don't even understand what the word doctrine means. Yeah. In its simple, very simple form, it is foundational teaching. And yet we do not know what the word doctrine means. We give praise through our mouths for the doctrines of grace, yet we don't even know what the doctrines of grace are. We say that we are grateful for what we stand for, yet when a small tribulation comes, when a small problem comes, we are quick to fall, and we do not stand. When one church member leaves, or church family leaves, it seems like everything just falls apart. When somebody gets mad, when someone doesn't have their feelings treated the way that they think they should be treated, we fall apart. When someone sits in our pew, we get upset. When someone doesn't say hello, we're offended. What do we stand for? The Word of God says that through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They worked or wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. I remember as a young person getting a book, and it was a small, thin book, and it said, "The Promises of God," and it listed every promise in the Bible. And I remember as a young person being encouraged to not only read that book, to proclaim and to claim the promises of God. And yet today, we don't know what the promises of God even look like. What has God promised to us besides eternal life? Pastor spoke, this morning was mentioned, John chapter 16, maybe his brother Jay, John chapter 16. One of the greatest promises we ever received was that the Holy Spirit would come and that he would dwell inside of us and that he would lead us into all truth. Are we excited about those promises that we can obtain through faith? See, we read things like "stop the mouths of lions." When we read about Samson, when we read about David and their heroic acts, even against these vicious creatures, we look at them as though they were just stories that we tell our children. We do not look at them as part of our history, acts that actually happened. Right. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. I've never seen a society so worried about what the government is going to do. The government can do nothing without God's permission. They cannot have the victory over God or God's people, yet we are so worried about what's going to happen. And we think that if an election is just going to turn everything around, let me tell you something. It is not an election, but yet it is the faith to know that God is in control. He still sits on his throne, and he still rules over the hearts of men. Amen. It is the same God that still saves souls today. But we have lost that faith, haven't we? I was reading something really interesting this week about faith. I was reading a book, and the author reminded the reader that it is not the amount of faith, because it is just the faith the size of a mustard seed that can move mountains, but it is actually putting that faith into practice. If we had just that little bit of faith and our works accompanied that faith, how many mountains would be moved? How many mouths of lions would be closed or stopped? How many edges of swords would we escape? Word of God says that through faith, out of weakness, we're made strong. You read of these men and you read of the stories of Samson and you say, wow, Samson did things that were unbelievable. No, they're believable when you truly recognize what faith is. Word of God says they wax valiant in fight and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. I want you to know that that word aliens means foreigners. It's not E.T. There might be some of you that believe E.T. was here, but I don't. Through faith, taking a stand. But what stand do we take today? What stand will we take today? You see, because we look at some of these trials and problems that these men and women of God faced, and we go, wow, that's amazing. And yet, the trial of maybe a phone bill or a water bill comes, and we don't know what to do. The trial or problem maybe at work with a coworker, with a boss, and we have no idea what to do, and we start to eat our nails and pull out our hair, and we say, what am I going to do? And I think these men faced greater things than we could ever imagine, and yet they stood through faith, and we crumble at just the very slightest persecution. We crumble at the very thought that somebody just doesn't like us for what we believe. What we see tonight is that these men and women, they stood. They were immovable. I always think of Psalm 1. They were those trees planted by river of water. They did not move. And yet today we have moved so far away. We complain about what our country needs, yet we do not recognize that that need starts inside of us. As the world continues to move farther and farther away from God, so do we. We just keep our distance with the world. And yet God has not moved. It is us that has moved. Our faith has wavered. Our faith has not been accompanied by action. Oh, have faith is what we tell others. But when it comes to our situation, where is our faith? If we had faith, would we stress? I question myself all the time. Why does it matter if he has it in his hands? I should be that one that could stand before a lion and not worry. You remember when David goes to King Saul and David wants to fight the giant Goliath. He says, ha, this is nothing. I've done other things. I've protected the sheep. And I will do so in the name of our Lord. You know, Is that even in our mouth? Is that even in our heart to stand through faith? Not only did they stand, but I want you to see that they saw. They saw something. Look at verse 35, the very first part. Verse 35, part A says, "Women received their dead raised to life again." Yeah. You remember Lazarus? Mary was distraught. And here comes the Savior. And with just the simple words, he says, "Lazarus, come forth." They saw something through faith. I was thinking about this because we all have lost family members. We all have lost friends. And for some reason, we love to doubt that God will ever save them. They're taking out a young man out of the city. And he's in his casket. And the Lord says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's just sleeping." In what condition were we before we knew the Lord? Amen. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And yet he gave us life. He made the dead to rise again. And yet we have no faith. We see it in our own lives. I was listening to the prayer request this morning and tonight. And I thought, these are things that we should be praying for. But oh, how we worry so much about this life. Right. Yeah. Almost every prayer request on every church's list is about health. Because we care about so much about being here on this earth. If we had faith, would it be that important to us? We hear the pastor say things like, "This world is not my home. I'm ready. I'm tired of this old place." And we'll say amen and we'll get excited about that. But then as soon as it comes for us to leave, we're saying, "Oh, pray that I don't have to go." Is that not true? You see, they saw God do great things through faith. We've seen God do great things through faith. But we have forgotten. We have forgotten the great things that he can do for us, through us, for his glory. Not only did they see, but I want you to see this. They suffered. They suffered. Look at verse 35. "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." You know, sometimes we like to refer ourselves to suffering, right? We go, "Oh man, this has been hard." A couple weeks ago, someone told me, they said, "I've been suffering like Job." Said, "You have not read the book of Job, have you?" What is suffering for us? We've been in the States, and believe it or not, sometimes I think that's suffering to be here instead of Peru. We've been suffering through a decision about where we're supposed to go next and what we're supposed to do next. That's not suffering. The Lord will show us. We think we're suffering because we didn't have any money to go out to eat for the week. Or maybe we're suffering because we couldn't buy the clothes that we wanted to buy. Or because maybe we didn't get to take the vacation that we wanted to take. That's not suffering. You see, these men and women, they did not suffer just for anything. They suffered because they had faith in the one and true living God. And because of that faith, they could go through the sufferings. I want to read just a short excerpt from one of my favorite books, The Trail of Blood. As I read this at my desk, I couldn't keep a dry eye. I tried. I said, this is crazy. I'm just reading a book. But it's not just a book. It's our history. But persecution did not then cease. The hated Anabaptist, called Baptist today, in spite of all prior persecutions, and in spite of the awful fact that 50 million had already died martyr deaths, still existed in great numbers. It was during this period that along one single European highway, 30 miles distant stakes were set up every few feet along this highway. The tops of the stakes were sharpened, and on the top of each stake was placed a gory head of a martyred Anabaptist. Human imagination can hardly picture a scene so awful.
Yeah.
We're worried about having our Second Amendment rights taken away. They had their lives taken away. I think that we are in for a rude awakening in this world. Because we are so worried about the little things that we cannot see the bigger picture. If this was us, would our head be found on one of those sharpened stakes along the highway? Or would we deny everything that we stood for to avoid the suffering? You see, yes, it would just be so easy to say, not me, I'll be one of those. But yet through our actions today, through our very small actions of faith, we see that most of us would not find our head on that highway, because at the very sight of any persecution, we would run. We would not stand. We would not see God's blessing, and we would not suffer for His name. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "The Lord's mercy often rides to the door of our hearts on the black horse of affliction." Jesus uses the whole range of our experiences to wean us from earth and woo us to heaven. Yet what is our first response to the suffering? God, get me out of it. And He says, I'm using this so that you put your eyes on me. And yet our eyes stay focused on the problem. Yeah. Not only did they stand, not only did they see, not only did they suffer, but they shined. Amen. Look at verse 39. And these all, didn't even have time to write all of their names, could not put all of their names because there were so many. The Word of God says, and these all, having obtained a good report, they shone. I looked up that word, shone and shined, for any of you English teachers, and they said I can use either one. So they shone and they shined. Having obtained a good report, but I want you to see those next two words. Through faith, receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us that they without us should not be made perfect. I thought about that. They didn't get to see the Messiah's coming. They just waited for it. They weren't blessed like we are to look back and say, He came. These, as the Word of God says, of whom the world was not worthy, obtained a good report. When others looked at these men and women, they knew what they stood for. They knew what they suffered through. They knew what they had seen. But it was not of themselves, but of that faith that lived inside of them. I want to end with this. Oswald Chambers says, faith never knows where it is being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading. Do you have that real faith tonight? Yes, even in those little things, those very minute, small things of life, or maybe in the greatest of things, could you be added to that list? Men of faith, women of faith, where are they? If they came through the doors today to accuse us of being men and women of faith, would we be found guilty? Pastor. Amen. Let's all stand together.